Seattle has won the toss.
We want the ball, we're going to score.
Oh, boy.
That was over the PA system here at Lambeau Field saying we want the ball and we're going to score.
David. Football. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Yes, Matt Hasselbeck. Bold. All right, it didn't work out, but it doesn't take away the fact that it was a bold thing to say. I loved it. Too bad it didn't work out. Anywho, hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope all's well wherever you are here in Studio 66. We're very excited and also on the other side of the glass because our esteemed guest today, none other than one of the great rising stars. I don't even know if I'm too late to the party to call her a rising star because I think she's just now a star in the sports media. From ESPN, the host of the Mina Kimes podcast with Lenny or starring Lenny? Do you prefer?
Featuring Lenny.
Featuring Lenny. It's Mina Kimes. How are you?
Good. I feel so welcome after reliving one of my top five worst sports memories with you now. Is that top five anymore? Because, nah, it's still top five.
Well, let's start there. You know what one of the first things I would say about you is that you're funny. That's what that's what occurs to me. My first started to see your stuff when you would sit next to Dan Le Batard and Poppy, and then since then, of course, the pages you make and the work you do on Around the Horn and beyond, and now the new podcast, and you just had Matt Hasselbeck on,
which is no
crazy coincidence because you're a Seahawks fan, eh?
I was really nervous. I haven't been.
I would think so.
Yeah, and we weren't in the same room, and also so. The podcast, it's featuring Lenny insofar as he gets to ask one question at the end. It's usually a rude question. And if I was an unbiased person, I would have probably made a reference to his most humiliating moment, which is the, you know, want the ball and we're going to score. But I couldn't bring myself to do it. And I also asked a question in my dog's voice. And I was trying to work up the courage all day to do that with my hero. And I did it. And I hated myself so much afterwards.
No. But I think that is a great aspect of what you do is, as opposed to the majority of people, still in 2018 here, people still are bashful about saying that they like football. And of course, you don't just randomly like the sport of football as a whole. The way that most anybody comes to love a sport is that they latch onto a team, right? And you refuse to pretend as though you don't have loyalties.
Well, and you as well. And I think the people
I don't know what that means, but okay.
I feel like I'm more critical of the team as a result than other
people.
That's
exactly right.
You know what I mean? Like, because I know them and I hate them and they drive me crazy. So I'm a homer. I mean, last week, Bobby Wagner blocks a field goal. Completely illegal. Mm-hmm. Very clearly illegal. I'm not going to go out and argue that it's legal, but I am also going to say it was awesome and I loved it. And I feel like you should do both those things at the same time.
Also, neither of us is 9 years of age, ergo, hopefully, we're lucid enough that we can not just criticize our team, but yeah, yes, we root for a team, but what you think, this is what I always tell people, what I think does not necessarily equal what I want and vice versa. Fair?
100%. Richard Sherman just said the Seahawks are a mediocre football team and Seahawks fans got mad. He kind of had a point, was my take. And I love the team and I want them to beat Richard Sherman, but I also know when someone says something that has a veracity to it.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I because I feel like I have to pat myself on the back for doing this. Big win by the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday. And I was quick to point out that Eli Rogers, of course, was not the victim of pass interference. He just took a random dive, as they would call it in hockey. In hockey, he would have gotten 2 minutes for diving on the play. And some Steelers fans didn't like that. But that proves that I also...
You're unbiased.
I can be objective.
He looked
sometimes.
Pretty good, Eli Rogers.
He didn't look bad. Well, maybe we'll have time for that. I do want to talk about some Seahawks stuff. We also have to get to the literal 10-foot pole. We'll see what Mina Kimes thinks about that, as well as the fast-approaching Shecky Awards. 2018 is almost at its end. That means that it's time to punctuate the year, as we do every year with the Shecky Awards. And I think Mina Kimes will have some interesting thoughts, and we'll test her on that in a little bit. But I want to talk about the Seahawks, first of all. Yeah. A few things, because I heard you. It came through in your voice, not in a nervous way or anything like that, but it was clear to me that you cared. You were excited to be talking to Matt Hasselbeck and so on. First of all, the uniforms. You don't like the green, the neon green?
It's a travesty. Action green is what
it's called. Can I tell you something?
No.
I didn't like it. I thought it was an eyesore at best.
Yes. Horrible.
But I've kind of come around on it. I don't know. Because I'm hipping now. My eye, I used to think I was old school, but now I'm getting with the times. This is what the kids like. I like that. I don't know why it's striking to me. Where it's bad is if they were playing like the Seahawks. I mean, the Eagles.
Oh.
If it's like that dark green against that green, then blech. It was a good matchup for them.
Do you remember that Color Rush game a couple years ago? It was, I want to say, the Jets and the Bills or something. But
yes.
It was the all greens against all reds. And it turned out colorblind people couldn't tell what was going on television. That's how I feel. Whenever I watch the action green, I just feel like it's so confusing and perplexing and horrifying. And Hasselbeck said the same thing. He thought I would like it because I was young. I will tell you this, Dave. I only see older folks wearing the action green when I'm walking about.
I didn't say I'm going out to the store and getting myself one. I'm just saying that now I'm more open-minded to it than I previously was. Do you like sea foam that they used to wear in the Hasselbeck days? That kind of
Reebok jerseys.
That weird silvery blue? Or did you like the Zorn era?
The Zorn. You have some of the best throwback jerseys in the NFL. Why not? Like, can you imagine Russell Wilson in the royal blue?
They do it?
How beautiful. How many people would run out to buy those royal blues?
Those were among the very best. They
gorgeous.
Really need to do that. What is, then, you started your little list there. You don't have to do all five. What's worse for you, Super Bowl 40 or Super Bowl 49?
40.
Is that right?
Because you guys cheated, you know that. But also, 49, we had already won. God, I have worked so hard to beat "we" out of my vocabulary. And
don't! I just embrace
it. Weeing it up. Okay. The team had won. And if they hadn't won, 49 would probably have been the worst day of my life, the worst day in human history. But they had won.
Mm-hmm.
Had the tattoo on my arm already. So it wasn't like we had just been to the mountaintop. And I think once that happens, the next year tends to kind of feel like gravier anyways. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I didn't talk to anyone for 48 hours, turned off all social media, disappeared off the face of the earth. But I got over it. And people always taunt me with it now. By the way, they were right to throw. That's a whole other thing. But I don't really
They were right to throw it, eh?
Not that throw, but yes, it was a passing situation. We don't have to do this. We don't have to do.
I don't want to belabor it, because I don't want to pick at the scab. But I do want to say the correct thing was run on first down as they did, run on second down, then get to the line, throw it on third down, stop the clock, 15 seconds remain. All the highest stakes for one play in pro football history, fourth down and goal from the one with 15 seconds. That would have been the greatest moment in pro football history. As it was pretty exciting, I guess. I had no rooting interest, though.
You got a pass to maintain optionality on third down, and the defense was, I always get duped into doing this, and I don't want to do it. I don't want to be that guy. I'm very happy. I'm not coming off of a happy weekend.
No, indeed.
Thank you.
No, courageous move to even show up today, because the Seahawks have been riding so high. They were one of the great stories. That leads me into something that I think you and I kind of agree on, from what I can glean from your social media and otherwise, is you and I like, you know, in 2018 and, you know, up until about 2 weeks ago, the story of the season was no one's playing any defense, and what's further, running game optional. Now all of a sudden your Seahawks are relevant primarily because of the run, and now the Ravens are in the mix too, and so many vapid cynics out there down on Lamar Jackson because he is not pinpoint accurate like Tom Brady in his prime, ignoring the fact that they're possessing the ball for two-thirds of every game and dominating teams like I keep referring to them as a Big Eight powerhouse kind of offense, just handing the ball off to multiple guys, the quarterback included in that mix, and it's devastating to try and contend with. It, not to mention physically puts a toll on your defense, not just for that week, but the next week.
I was thinking about that last night watching the Rams, right? Because I hate the whole, oh, there's a blueprint to stop the Rams, and the Lions gave us the blueprint, I guess. But you're seeing a trend. And this isn't just with the Rams. I think it's something you're seeing around the NFL, but with the Rams, it stands out the most, which is you're seeing these defenses basically say, yeah, run it. We'll drop seven. We're not going to bite on play action. Just, you know, do your little thing with Todd Gurley, run around, whatever. What happens when all of the defenses in the NFL start drafting for that, start scheming for that, moving in that direction, and then you smash them like the Ravens are doing? Because I really think there's a bit of a zigging where the rest of the league is zagging going on. Now, the Ravens have a much better defense than Seattle, which is...
Do I say that all the time, the zig and the zag
really?
Business? I do that all the time.
So we like... I really... You don't want to play Lamar Jackson in this Ravens defense and this Ravens rushing attack right now if you're in the AFC. I mean, I don't think... He's got a long way to go, and I am as cautious about him as I am cautious about Allen and Rosen and Darnold at this point. But that... As a whole, when you look at that attack and what they're doing, I really think it's terrifying.
Well, and besides the point, and I'm not taking a shot at Joe Cool, or perhaps I am, but either way, that's the other option. It's
yeah,
Joe Flacco. Who do you think is, who's standing there on the sideline that you're so upset that Lamar Jackson's getting repped? Here's the simplest way. Obviously, it's, you know, you're going to have to make some assumptions here, but I assume that the Ravens would not have won the games that they've just won if it had been Joe Flacco. In fact, I have a hunch, having watched Joe Flacco closely over his career, they would have lost on Sunday to the Buccaneers. That was a Flacco special, to lose that game in the rain against a bum team that they had no business losing.
Turnovers.
They would have lost that game.
Yeah. I mean, Joe Flacco is maybe the most known quantity in the league. And at the beginning of this year, people were kind of talking themselves into him again. But I just pulled his numbers before he went down. And it's, I think, 30th in passer rating, 20-something in yards per attempt. Like, he just is that guy now. He's been that guy for 3 or 4 years. Like, so you're right. I don't know what kind of upside they people who want him over Jackson would expect out of him in these situations.
And it's funny because it is something that you can also look at just about every year, if not every other year, that it's the Ravens' brain trust that gets seduced by the same thing as the fans do, which is, maybe this year we can run the offense through five. Maybe we can be a pass-first offense, and then around week 6 or 8, oh, yeah, right, we have Joe Flacco. We can't do that week in and week out and make it to the playoffs doing it that way. That's why they drafted Lamar Jackson.
I've been impressed with what Mornwig and Roman, who have experience dealing with mobile quarterbacks, as you know, what they've done with Lamar, and it's interesting to contrast with the approach in Buffalo. I hate this because I feel like Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson are so – quarterbacks sometimes draft in the same class become linked and in unfair ways. And there's this like meta conversation about why Allen got drafted where he did and why Lamar did and what it means. And they're going to be compared at every step of their way. Just looking at them as football players right now, their production is like uncannily similar, you know, but they're doing it in remarkably different ways. Lamar Jackson, that entire offense we've been discussing, is built around his rushing ability in the run. And Josh Allen is just running for his life, right? Because they wanted the pocket passer. They got him. He's completely not that. And as a result, but he's not, they're not sort of building that offense around him. He's just scrambling. And he's fantastic. He's a bulldozer. He's a great runner. He's terrific. But I don't know.
Newton. Is that right? I think that's a really good comp for him.
I think it's so similar. I just said this. You know, zigging, zagging. I absolutely think that. And it reminds me of sometimes of the bad Cam years where they would have these long, slow developing plays and drop him back, and they didn't really have great personnel, and he would get hit. And I'm watching Josh Allen, and I don't want him to be in that offense. Obviously, they don't have, you know, great talent around him, but those two quarterbacks have what they're doing is remarkably similar right now.
It is true that what they also unfortunately share early, Cam, the difference with him is it's weird to me when world-class athletes who seem to have a handle on all aspects of their physical nature except for spatial awareness,
yeah,
which in terms of I'm going full speed, that guy is running fast in my direction, I got to get down before he reaches me. Mike Vick didn't have that. It's weird, the guys that, like, their world, you know, that they can figure it all out on the fly and it makes your head spin that you're the same species. But it's weird. Russell Wilson has it. Colin Kaepernick has it.
Yep.
But other guys do not have it, and it's their undoing. And if they don't figure it out, they're going to be RG3.
That's another similarity. I think both Allen and Lamar are putting themselves in danger way too much every game. Both guys, and that needs to stop. And I don't know how. RG3 was interviewed on the sideline. I think he was talking about how he's been trying to get, you know, don't be like me kind of situation. But it's not. I haven't noticed any difference in the way Lamar is approaching the field. I've seen him progress a little bit as a passer, and I think he's great at running the option, is a good decision maker, but the slides, I mean, he's...
Let's jump in on Cam in just a second here because we have some business to tend to.
No.
It's a point of division between you and me. I want to see if we agree on this. The Seahawks are a nice story. I declared, because the late, great Jerry Orbach says at the end of Dirty Dancing, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. And I was wrong about the Chicago Bears, and it turns out, or at least it appears, I was wrong about the Seattle Seahawks. I declared in August they were not going to the playoffs.
Mm.
I felt very sure about this. That being said, how much better would they be, and have you looked through the late first round and second round to see who the Seahawks could have taken instead of Penny?
Of course, I think about that every day.
And
every
who
time
would that
I
have
see
been?
Derwin James, one pick before they traded down.
Is that right? That's how it plays? Well, I'm sick as a Steelers fan.
It hurts me. Oh, him on Derwin the Steelers.
James,
could there
Derwin
be
James,
a more necessary player
I mean,
in that defense?
Last autumn, if they could somehow, like they did
so
with Polamalu, move up to get this guy. That's what they
had.
Oh,
we don't
had.
Need a safety. We could just, you know, put a bunch
of
people
in the middle. But yes, Derwin
anyway,
James.
Morgan
oh,
Burnett.
Yeah.
Not
how much better
that.
Could you have been? That's right. All right, let's talk about it now. Okay, you said you made some cute crack about, oh, Thanksgiving, the relatives gathering around, and the crazy old drunk uncle's going to make the joke about QB wins being a stat. And then I said, well, they do matter. Now, argue why QB wins don't matter. Of course they matter. He handles the ball every play. What guy is really good, but his team just perennially stinks? I mean, or vice versa. It just doesn't exist in the 21st century NFL.
I guess if the QB wins crowd, Lamar is 4-1, so he's one of the best quarterbacks.
Okay, but I let him off the hook. He's a rookie
on,
anyway.
It's the perfect example right
hey,
there.
But
I like him.
I argue that he's not bad. Is by traditional measures, he's not throwing the ball, or he's not traditional. By 2018 standards, he's not Patrick Mahomes, but neither is Patrick Mahomes Lamar Jackson.
He's excellent, but that 4-1 stat, his role in that is so tangential. I mean, it's just part of the bigger picture, right? Which is the thing with QB wins. Look, good quarterbacks.
If Lamar Jackson's going to be your one, that's going to be rough because he's played for a month.
Good quarterbacks do tend to win games. But there are so many other metrics that are so much more valuable and tell you such a more complete picture of who they are and their performance that why would you even go to wins? In terms of we're just talking about evaluating quarterback play. Mm-hmm. Why would you even go to wins as a, because if you're differentiating between, say, two medium type, you know, backs, guys in the soft middle, like a Dalton and a Flacco, you know, or whatever. There's so many things you can look at that will give you a better picture of who's better and who you'd want to.
I'll push back on it, as best I can here. And I understand going in that you are going to defeat me because you're much brighter than I. However, it matters because come play, because the season ends. It is not college football. It is not let's vote on it and see who we feel collectively is the best because of this body of evidence. Instead, they do a proper playoff and they do it every year. And at the end of it, one team gets the Lombardi Trophy. Until they give out multiples or they decide, let's just scrap this playoffs and vote on it on New Year's Day, then it does matter who wins, and not just wins games, but wins games enough to get to the playoffs and then shines brightest. And that's a real thing.
Here's another guy. Saints went 7-9 for approximately 400 years in the late 2000s. Was Drew Brees a 7-9 quarterback? Was he just bad? Was it below average? Because that's what 7-9.
You, again, know better than I, but
below average is what 7-9 means. Was Drew Brees below average?
Number 9 on the road for a long stretch was average, right? And by the way, in this age where your Seahawks really are the ones who I think kind of figured this out first, or at least it played out that made them look really smart, and were the trailblazers of this, which is, and the 49ers at the same time, which is, if we have a good QB still on his rookie deal, it allows us to spend on luxury items and flesh out the roster and make it really strong top to bottom. At the same time that was happening, those were the two world beaters on the NFC side. You had Brady and Peyton, and they were, in fact, being measured up against the two young guns. But, in fact, those two guys, 12 and 18, were carrying things on a level that the NFC guys were not, because their rosters were a little more specious outside of the QB spot and what that quarterback needed to succeed offensively, right?
Do you think that approach, by the way, which has been, since you're right, the Seahawks were kind of the first ones to do it so obviously, do you think that still is the key to building a Super Bowl contender? Another thing I was thinking about last night, watching the Rams, the most all-in team I can think of.
That's right.
In NFL history. And yet, not all of their signings have worked out. So they look pretty good. I mean, Marcus Peters has come around. Well, that wasn't a free agent signing, but Sue's fine.
Depends if you talk to some of the fans at the Coliseum. They might disagree today. I don't know if you saw Marcus Peters talk.
No. What did he do? He's sassy. Oh.
Yeah, he was very sassy to a spectator.
A little too sassy.
Yeah.
Was it a counter sass though?
It was unclear. Apparently there was a heckler in the front row, and Marcus Peters took exception and paid a visit to that guy.
I have so this is mostly an NBA thing, but I think it works for the NFL too. You can heckle, but if you heckle to the point where a player can see it, they can challenge you to a fight, and you have to accept or leave the stadium.
I love it.
You like that?
I'm in for that, yeah.
So if you want to, if you're down to throw down with Marcus Peters, heckle away. But then he can point at you and say, meet me in the octagon.
I like that. I like it better because I always felt like the great equalizer in hockey, Seattle's getting a hockey team, so you better get ready for that.
Power play. That's a hockey term, right?
Maybe that could be the name of the team.
Seattle Power Plays.
What would you like to name them?
The Seattle Bring the NBA Back Please Nows.
Okay. All right. Let's put it in pencil, because I don't know. That when the guys periodically, every half decade or so, a hockey player gets mad because somebody is taunting him or throws a beer on him or something, and he'll literally jump over the glass and try and fight somebody. But at least the equalizer is that he's got skates on. So like an average schnook might be able, like, you can't catch me because you're on cement now, hockey guy. And so that back and forth is interesting by itself. But anyway. I don't remember even what we were talking about. You were going to make your Jared Goff. You were going to make your Jared Goff.
Oh, no, I was just, I was watching
Because I think
them
this is the perfect one.
And thinking about that, and it was interesting because you mentioned the Bears and how you weren't high on them earlier, and I think that's the other side of it obviously working, right, where you've got the rookie quarterback. The reason I thought that wouldn't work before the season, so I was with you, I wasn't as high on the Bears, and I still have some questions, but I didn't believe in Mitch Trubisky, so what I was thinking before the season was, and I still kind of don't, but if your rookie quarterback is replacement level-ish, do you want to go all in? Because do you want to preserve the optionality to find another quarterback if you have to and throw in the towel on him? The Bears are kind of, in my opinion, showing us that you don't really have to do that. They're winning with average to below average play at times from their quarterback. So it still seems to work in the NFL. You just have to pick the right players and have the right coaches.
But I think with a larger body of evidence, we're in the first decade of this, but if assuming things stay as they are, it really does. There's two ways to skin the cat beyond just how you approach offense and whether or not you throw the ball 80% of the time versus if you try to go, big eight old school and run the ball all the time. Either way, by the way, I do love that because growing up for me, you're much younger than I, but when I was growing up, what was great about college football versus the NFL was the variation in offensive philosophy. Now that's more NFL. Now everybody just spreads it out in college. Now you have these pockets of run-based teams and throw it all over. I love that kind of thing. But, yeah, the last 5 years, who's won the Super Bowl? It's either Tom Brady or it's one of the
cheap quarterback.
It's these guys who, these full rosters who happen to have a talented guy at quarterback who's still on his rookie deal. The Rams are going to be interesting to see how deep they can go in the playoffs, working it from that side. All right, let's do a little something now. Oh, but anyway, you did also say something. I don't want to expose anything, but you did say to me. Your question was, whose stats? How did you phrase it? You said something about.
I don't remember.
I said QB wins matter. And you say how? Well, let me ask it to you this way, and then you ask the question: whose stats are different than what you think of him?
Our internet exchange. Yes, right. So who's someone where wins dramatically changes your perception of them in a way that's not reflected in other stats, perhaps?
Cam Newton.
So he's just a winner.
Matt Ryan. The good and the bad.
Okay, so. Walk me through the Matt Ryan one, because I feel like the Cam one we've talked about a bit. But
let me just say, you're not going to like what I say about this.
Ooh.
But a human being is susceptible to pressure. And that's a reality that people don't want to accept. That sometimes in the big moments, there is and by the way, it's a mounting thing. As I always said, Tony Romo is a great example of this. Tony Romo, the idea that he wasn't great, that he's a borderline Hall of Famer, but if he takes that Cowboys team to a Super Bowl, he maybe is a Hall of Famer, but he's not going to go to the Hall now. And this idea that relatively early in his career, at 13-3, they were the heavy favorites to knock off the upstart Giants. Instead, Eli gets it done there. And this begins a double whammy, which is Eli's clutch. Tony Romo is a choker. And the more that keeps going on, that once you get a couple of examples of it, if you don't think that Tony Romo, as the QB of America's team, doesn't hear that outside noise and isn't in the huddle in the last 2 minutes, like, I better not blow. I can't blow this right now. That is definitely a human thing. And I think Matt Ryan is at this point in his career, you know, he was real close to the Super Bowl, but he's going to be defined, unless something different happens in these next 5 years, by taking that sack against the Patriots in the fourth quarter, thereby allowing the Patriots to rally.
You're a smart man. So you know that Phillip Rivers is significantly better than Eli Manning and belongs in the Hall of Fame where Eli doesn't. And yet, so I'm setting that as the baseline for just a point of agreement between us.
Well, we haven't seen Phil get the chance in the big game. We don't know.
If you don't get the chance in the postseason to screw.
I love old man Rivers, and I'll make excuses for him all day.
Look at this.
I'll make excuses
for him. I love him, too.
That's right. Listen, the fumble against the Patriots, what was that now, 10 years ago? Then he has a terrible knee, and he goes out and plays on it, and his best offensive weapon, LaDainian Tomlinson, is unavailable in that one. Those are two games that
you are slippery right now.
I'm just saying there are some exceptions that prove the rule. The other thing I always say about winning Lombardis is, here's the vexing thing for people, when they announce, we've watched Andrew Luck play for 15 minutes in the NFL now. Mm-hmm. He's going to win multiple Lombardis. Yeah, they only give out the one. And as long as they only give out one and they're more than a couple good quarterbacks, it's not going to be the same guys winning it every year. They're going to be a handful of guys. And some guys, like Dan Marino, are going to slip through the cracks of history and not get a Super Bowl despite being one of the all-time greats. Well,
Peyton Manning did a great job of sacking Cam Newton multiple times on those teams.
Well, there's one of your exceptions because, that was ridiculous that Peyton Manning now has multiple Lombardis. He was certainly a passenger. All right, we'll get right back to Mina Kimes in just a second here. Quick word, though, for you about Control Center. by Cavo. It's the one remote that does it all. Like that ring in that movie, or the three movies that they did where the two little fellas carried it all the way to the top of the mountain and threw it in. But do not throw your Cavo-made control center. This holiday season, you want your loved ones to take control of their TV with the gift of Control Center. What is it? It cleans up your home theater so you can control everything connected to your TV with one easy-to-use remote. Stop wasting precious time searching for shows. Plug in your streamer, sound system, cable or satellite, even your game console, and Control Center. Jean-Claude Van Damme-ishek, right? Right now, Control Center. No, but it's Control Center is how it's said. It's easy to use, easier to use even than it is for me to say. It's easy for everyone to use. There's also a Find My Remote feature, so you don't have to panic if it disappears into the couch. Boy, this is exactly what Damashek needs. If I have one shortcoming when it comes to working the remote, it's that sometimes I lose it and then have to go on a furious search for 90 minutes to 2 hours to find it. Control Center works with Amazon Alexa and Google Home, so you can even watch TV hands-free. It's the holiday season. Treat yourself and or your loved ones. Shop now. Get 40% off Control Center with promo code DAVE, D-A-V-E. That's $59.95, 40% off the regular price of $99.95. It's Control Center, available at Cavo, CAAVO.com, and Best Buy. Control Center by Cavo, one remote that does it all. Back to Kimes. All right, let's do this now.
Ooh.
This is Mina Kimes. You know, you've been around the block, and you know there are a lot of jokers who are awfully courageous about announcing what they will and won't touch with a 10-foot pole. But that's a figurative one. We go the extra mile. That's a literal 10-foot pole, Mina Kimes. Let's see what you will and won't touch with the literal 10-foot pole, and we'll start it off with Joe Cool here. Joe Flacco in 2019 is a backup quarterback somewhere in the NFL, not a starting quarterback on opening day. Will you touch that statement with a 10-foot pole?
I think the Jaguars are going to pay him, and I hate that. And it makes me sad.
What a terrible mistake.
I know, but
That's not what they need at all.
I know, but you're asking what I think will happen, not what should happen. So I think he's going to be a starter because he's a winner. He got those wins, Dave. Great hair, though.
He's not really a winner. He had that 5 weeks 6 years ago, but he's not exactly a consistent winner in the NFL. So that's a no. You did not touch that with a 10-foot pole. Next up, here we go. Oh. Has Tom Brady, Spaghetti, how did you want me to ask this? Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass. By the way, I meant to say it earlier, if you enjoy Mina Kimes, which I trust you do if you're listening right now, you must make sure you check out the broadcast. She paid a visit to Emma VP and her friend Ricky Hollywood's podcast about a month or two ago.
Yeah.
And it was grand stuff.
That was the mountaintop, and then I'm kind of coming down.
That's right. Yep. That's fine.
Now she
has
her own podcast, though. I'm glad I inspired her to do so.
Say, look at you, making a difference in the world.
Women
Emma
inspiring
VP.
Women.
Spaghetti, how did you want me to ask this one about Tom Brady?
The last playoff appearance for Brady and Belichick together.
Woo! Is this it?
Yeah.
The last playoff appearance?
Yeah, this upcoming season.
All right. Is this the last playoff appearance for Tom Brady and Bill Belichick together 2018 or January of 2019? Will you touch that with a 10-foot pole?
No, though I don't think it's going to go great, but I don't think he's retiring after this season.
2019, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick then will be in the playoffs, not just together, but in the playoffs 1 year from now.
Yes. I think so.
I don't know. I think the
you don't
Jets.
Think so? You think it's over?
I don't know. I can't.
The Jets?
You know what? I said a month ago, I will say to my credit, I have not been one of these people, whether I wanted it to be or not, just from fatigue from the same storyline. I do think dynasties are good for sports, period. However, because that particular dynasty has repressed my favorite team, I am a little raw about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick's Patriots.
And you're high on the Jets?
I did not – for 5 years, on to Cincinnati, all that kind of – I'm not high on the Jets. That is bad. Yeah, I shouldn't have said that.
I wish – I'm glad you did, though, because I
– I like Darnold.
I was Darnold high from the beginning, and partly because I came with the name Darnold Schwarzenegger, and I just wanted to succeed so that I can trademark that. But I also – I really liked him, and he looked great. He looked great.
He really did.
Got so much cap space.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's going to be Patriots.
Ooh, well, maybe we should
– Am I talking you into it?
No. What you're doing is making me change here.
Ooh.
I remembered – that I want to get to this guy. Le'Veon Bell in 2019 free agency will get the guaranteed loot and otherwise that he craves. What that figure is, it's hard to determine. $40 million, $50 million. He will get a suitor, and he will be excited about the situation he lands in next spring. Will you touch that with a 10-foot pole?
Do I actually need to touch it?
Yes, you do.
Hi.
Of course. It's a literal 10-foot pole, ain't it?
Tap, tap, tap.
You're
nice,
touching that.
Nice,
where? Okay, first of all, where do you think he goes? Where is that situation?
I think it's going to be the aforementioned New York Jets.
You do? Yeah. I could say it lines up, right?
And I like that. I do not believe in paying running backs a ton of money in 2018, but I like what it would do for Darnold's development to have Le'Veon as an outlet, because God knows he could use that.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me to do that. But, I mean, people keep forget James Conner. Forget even Jalen Samuels. I'm going to like Josh Adams. How many examples do you need? Chris Carter. How many examples are needed that you don't use a first-round pick or devote that percentage of your cap space to a running back?
Steelers are such a good example, too, of why running backs don't matter, but running matters in a way. Like, they you're the expert, so I don't want to on this team. But it's so apparent to me that they need an efficient running game for Ben to play his best and to have that offense clicking the way it does. But because the offensive line is the best in the NFL, or if, you know, top three, the back doesn't matter. I mean, I think it takes a while to learn for backs to learn how to play with that line a little bit.
That's clear from Jalen Samuels and his, I'm going to name drop, Maurice Jones-Drew. I said I was obsessed by the play that they ran four times, which was that odd little standstill. I mean, Roethlisberger in the gun. And gets it and then turns about, you know, 2 feet away and pitches it to Jalen Samuels, who is standing still. And then they run that weird counter, the same play.
One little twist.
It was 4 for 4. I mean, it really was. If there's one play that was run over and over again that defined the game, it was that one. And it was weird. He said because he needs it in space. He's not a tactician.
Yes.
Jalen Samuels is not a tactician.
Yes.
He just needs to use his athleticism.
Watch him in college at all.
He was an H-back.
Yeah, he's not a between the tackles.
Not even a running back.
Kind of
right.
guy, but he looked fantastic. And again, that's...
Well, that's going to be a big loss. Mike Munchak's going to get a head coaching gig somewhere. I didn't like the Tomlin needs to get fired talk necessarily, but my concern was if this team doesn't even make the postseason, which they still may not, what a waste of high-end talent. And the larger concern is Mike Munchak's going to walk, and then their position of strength, their offensive line, is probably going to diminish a little
bit. Not seeing a lot of – I mean, I guess Doug Marrone's the line guy, but I mean, you're not seeing a lot of offensive line coaches get those spots anymore. Maybe that's a market – an opportunity for someone, an arbitrage thing, like how Jim or John Harbaugh was the only special teams guy, and for years that was a brilliant.
That's right.
Maybe it's like go for the OL guy. I don't know.
Zigging while everybody's zagging,
I
right?
I like this. Zig.
Now, the guy. Now, see, everybody talks about the young, progressive offensive play caller, me among them. But people are sleeping on the OG, Andy Reid. He also fits that description, even though he's not 28 years old or whatever. And Patrick Mahomes, what an explosion in 2018 by this guy. What was the question you wanted me to ask here, Spaghetti? I have a question for you because I heard you talk about Hasselbeck. A decade from now, Patrick Mahomes is called the greatest quarterback in pro football history. Will you touch that with a 10-foot pole? One decade from now. Whoa, she did it. He's better than Brady, than Marino, better than Elway, better than Favre and Rodgers and everybody else.
I think he's incredible. It's something I don't remember having seen this early to be playing at
That's
the level
right.
he is. I, in my years on Earth, I don't remember seeing it. He also ended up in just the perfect situation. It's like a perfect storm of a million things clicking at the same time. And I got to think, by the way, it sounds like we both love him, so I'll call him our beloved Andy Reid, has enjoyed watching a little bit the demise of young McVay over there, because You know, those offenses, it's funny, everyone compares them so much, but they're so different, right? The things we were talking about that people are doing to stop the Rams, you can't do that against the Chiefs. You can't do that with this young man. And
I give out the Jenga award every year, the key Jenga piece, because in 21st century, all pro football teams are going to have injuries. But if you take the wrong one out, the whole thing can implode.
Up.
The QB is we don't – that's too easy. Yeah. That's too elementary. You take anybody's quarterback away, they're probably going to be bad. I think Tyreek Hill might be the Jenga piece.
I was saying the Rams almost cup. Sorry when I said cup. Yeah.
Oh, who'd you say, though?
Cooper Kupp, but yeah.
Oh, Cooper Kupp, yeah.
I was thinking about that, but yeah.
But imagine if you take Tyreek Hill out of the mix, he might be the number one in all of pro football in 2018 because he really is the difference maker. Kind of, if you think about it, he's gotten Mahomes off the hook a little bit, his difference-making speed. I mean, the thing also that pro football players are hard to impress, boy, that guy's really good. They, to a man, say, well, I've never seen anything like that speed out there. It's crazy how fast Tyreek Hill is in person.
And he's learning how to run routes. I mean, it is at an alarmingly rapid rate. You see him becoming a wide receiver basically in real time. And combined with that ungodly speed, it's just crazy. You're probably right. He does get doubled like half the time. So you take him out. Yeah, that would probably
Has he been silenced this season?
Not many.
Very few. I have the other question, since you mentioned Andy Reid and Sean McVay and company. The Chiefs and the Rams will both be watching Super Bowl 53 on TV because neither one of them's getting there. Will you touch that with a 10-foot pole?
No, I think the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl.
Do you really? Fun.
Do you not?
I don't know. I don't.
Well, I don't know either. You can't. You can't.
I'm just a spectator. I'm just along for the ride. I'm passively enjoying the 2018 season.
If you're first. Pick a AFC.
I am going to stick with my preseason pick, and not just because it was my preseason pick, only 98% of the reason. I'm going to stick with the Chargers.
You picked the Chargers preseason.
I said the Chargers were going to win despite no Melvin Gordon and Keenan Allen going down. I was what, Spaghetti? What are you laughing about?
We're making fun of overuse check, but
what?
The Chargers.
We're making fun of you for always bringing up how often that you picked.
Why, that's an overuse bid. What's overuse? I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. That's a bid.
You're just shooting your own horn.
Right.
So there's a certain hub of NFL writers and such, NFL folks on Twitter, who love the Chargers and have loved the Chargers for a few years now. And I think it's because they are the good on paper team. And they were last year, too, and all of the underlying, if you like, numbers, everything suggests that they should be awesome, and yet in the past, the special teams has kind of been the undoing in these, like, fluky accidents. So I would love a Charger, nothing more than a Charger Super Bowl. I hope you're right, David. I don't believe it because I've been burnt too many times on the Chargers, but I hope you're right.
They just got to – the football gods are trying to smile on them with a little bit of health this year, even with Keenan Allen and Melvin Gordon. If those guys are right, that – oh, I wanted to ask you, too. What do you think about the Mahomes v. Seahawks? Because that really – I mean, with the Chiefs coming up there this weekend. And if the Chargers can knock off the Ravens, then the Chargers – that was the question for Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes and company are going to be a wild card in January.
I think the Chiefs will win.
You think they do take down your
Seahawks? Because I don't know if you saw. So part of the reason why the Seahawks did get shredded by Nick Mullins and company. Well, one is Kyle Shanahan is the first and foremost reason. George Kittle is the second one. He is awesome. But the Seahawks strong safety, Bradley McDougal, got hurt. He's been quietly incredible this season. And if he's not 100%, I don't really think that defense is a lot of hope.
All right. Nick Foles will complete this run for a couple more weeks, get the team to the postseason, win a game, thereby setting off a chain of events that fills Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson's offseason with questions about, shouldn't you really stick with Foles now? He's the one that's winning games for you. Carson Wentz might be better, but really, you got to stick with the kid. He won us a Super Bowl. Come on. You got it for the Eagles. You got to stick with Nick Foles. And Carson Wentz will be put back in there to start 2019, but the pressure will mount on the poor kid because all he has to hear about is the Super Bowl hero, Nick Foles.
I'm not going to touch this one
because
I don't think they're going to the playoffs because of the odds right now are pretty low.
Cowboys should win their next
game. A lot of stuff has to shake out. But as I was watching the Nick Foles inning last night, I was thinking, man, as an Eagles fan, like, am I happy about this? Because you're right. If he actually wins out or looks awesome, it creates this kind of dreadful paradox. Because not only is there the question of should we hang on to Foles, should we trade him? He's got the $20 million option, right? And you got to think if that happens, he will be a trade target. It then raises this other question of how come Carson Wentz couldn't do this, right? And it gets weird. It gets really weird. And
Chris Collinsworth is not helping matters. He says, okay, you can't do as much with Foles in there. You can't run any of the boot action. You can't roll him at all. But, I mean, you know what? The players respond to him. That's not helping Collinsworth. That's not a good thing to say.
Why do you think Nick Foles looks so much better? Like, I have my theories about what's going on and why Wentz has struggled at times, but what do you think it is?
No idea. I can't make any sense of it because I'm a pedigree snob. Carson Wentz is plainly the superior.
He is better.
Talent. 100%. He's bright. He's charismatic. All those things that you would look for in the guy running your offense, he seems to have them.
So I think Nick Foles is the most fungible quarterback in the NFL. You can just drop him in, tell him what to do, and if you're a good play caller, and I still believe Doug Peterson is, he'll do it. And if he's having an accurate night, he'll win. He's not going to try to force it to Ertz. He's not going to try to.
That's the thing, I think,
yeah,
right?
That's one. Yeah, that's an.
Wentz became obsessed by Zach Ertz's greatness and ignored Alshon Jeffrey.
A lot of that, and I think Peterson kind of was letting Wentz take the reins to do the sort of occasional hero ball type things he does, and when he's not 100% healthy, it just doesn't work out. But he's clearly better than Nick Foles. But man, this is going to be weird.
I know. And there's no way you could let Carson Wentz go if you're Howie Roseman, and yet it's not going to be good. And I'm not saying Carson Wentz equals Mark Sanchez, but just because some guys deal well with pressure from another guy, Tom Brady didn't like having Jimmy Garoppolo behind
him.
But
Tom Brady was better when Jimmy Garoppolo was around. Maybe he needs that.
But they don't like, some guys don't like that. And Mark Sanchez definitely didn't like it when Tim Tebow showed up. Some guys crumble from that. Do you think Carson Wentz in that mean town, this is some Dakota kid, is going to deal well with, like, not as good as Foles? Like, what are you talking about? I'm plainly better than that guy. Nope, not you. Hey, calling into WIP to vent about how Foles should be our guy.
I like your Philly fan.
Is that how they talk? I don't know.
Water ice. That's the only other Philly thing. Cheese steaks.
I also don't like, and you're right, but I don't like that the Steelers need to be able to run the ball. They throw the best receiver in the NFL out there. They throw Juju. And if James Washington and Vance McDonald, they can't make a go of it. Best offensive line in pro football. They can't throw the ball 100%. Say, hey, guess what, defense? We're going to tell you ahead of time to make it fair. We're not going to even try to run the ball. They should be able to put 35 on the board.
A lot of me thinks that's Ben, but also given what we've been talking about with NFL defenses and how they've adjusted to these pass-first offenses and how they're letting teams run, maybe this is a zigzag situation. Maybe it's funny. Everybody, after Chiefs-Rams, so the Rams didn't run the ball at all in that game. The epic Monday Night Football, greatest game in NFL history, yada, yada. Changed football forever, except it didn't, apparently. But the Rams barely ran it, right? So people are saying, well, what's the deal now? Why can't they just throw it out? Well, the difference is the Chiefs' defense is terrible. Okay, so that game taught us nothing about NFL offense. And so, yeah, maybe if you're the Steelers or the Patriots or whatever, you got to run the ball because these defenses can handle a pass-only offense right now. Zig.
I like it. And by the way, to go back to your earlier question about the Chiefs or your comment that they go to the Super Bowl, my takeaway from all things of that game besides Tyreek Hill and what he did and the way he rose above for the players in that game on both sides. What stood out to you about this all-time insane game? Tyreek Hill, never seen anything like that. That's consistently what the players said about that. I mean, that was crazy to watch. The other thing is Justin Houston, Dee Ford, and if Eric Berry can get right, they have enough on defense in the playoffs. If they get the lead, which they often do based on the way they play in the first half, that's enough to survive. That's a recipe that we've seen work in the 21st century, that if you have some guys that can at least get to the QB, it can offset you may not be a shutdown defense, but if you can heat up the QB a little bit.
That's why their worst nightmare is a Ravens-like team. You watch that game? The Ravens, they gave it to them because that defense can't stop that kind
of
offense. That's
right. That's exactly right.
Thank you.
Terrific. Lots of fun. MVP, what was your review?
Oh, A+.
I know you love Mina, and you're okay with me. You tolerate me. Was this okay? Did I service the guest well?
You did. You did a great job.
Spaghetti?
It sounds like you guys have done 100 podcasts together.
Is that right?
It's very smooth. Yeah, I enjoyed it thoroughly, yeah.
All right, move over. Lenny, am I right?
Yeah.
Whoa, why are we pipping my dog?
But before you go, we do have the Shecky Awards coming. Ooh. And I wanted to just get your opinion because, like I say, you're not just smart about the game of football. You clearly know the game of life.
I don't know about that.
All right. What's the best one for you to ask? For me to ask you, what's your favorite alphabet letter?
S.
Because?
Can take a single thing and give you more of them.
Nice. I'm snobby about it. I don't like letters that are spelled. If you spelled the letter, it wouldn't start with itself. It starts with an E.
Oh.
S.
M.
A starts with an A. B. C gets weird, you know?
I guess D, is that your favorite letter? Not to assume you're a narcissist.
No, it's Q. It's
Q.
Aspirational. I like the letter Q.
Scrabble. Great Scrabble letter.
That's also true.
Huge.
But also, because Emma VP likes it when I repeat this, this is one of the aforementioned overused Sheck bits. But Q is good because when you think about it, you think of it hanging out with X, Y, and Z. You know, like that's where it belongs. It's a weirdo nerd letter down at the bottom. But pay attention, because guess what it's been doing while you think that, make that assumption? It's up there hanging out. It's crept all the way up past R. It's right up there. I mean, like, it's in front of R, S, and T. Good for you, Q. Hang in there, Q.
You had tricked me into thinking that actually in the alphabet, Q was by X, Y, and Z. I was like, yeah, that sounds right in my head, because I don't remember where all the letters are.
It's making a play for that top. I mean, the snobs, the cool clique of A, B, and C, and they're like, D, who do you think you are? Like, we let you sit here, but don't push your luck. Q's going to wind up in that top three if everybody ain't careful.
Did you see a story about the woman who got mad at the flight attendants for making fun of her child's name, which was A, B, C, D, E? You saw that, right? And I think it's pronounced like absidy.
ABCD, I think, or something like that.
Not the arrangement of letters. I would go elsewhere in the alphabet if I was her.
I'm pretty sure that's what Marcus Peters got mad about. Somebody was yelling to him about that on the sideline. Most overused remark by a play-by-play or color analyst.
They really want it.
It's a good one.
Wanting it, generally.
It's the wanting it. Because often, if you notice, especially in the playoffs this happens, it comes down to who wants it more, which is weird because they went to the trouble of practicing and working out individually and together and all the class. You should have wanted it. If you would have just – and the coach always says it too. In the NBA, even more. Hey, they just wanted it more than we did tonight. Well, that's who's that on? Isn't that on you? Aren't you telling on yourself?
You can't get those QB wins if you don't want them. I'm telling you.
Best fruit.
I don't want to be like a fruit hipster because my mind now is filled
with
like.
That's who you are, be it. You know, let your hip flag fly.
I really like plums.
Thus ends our conversation with Mina Kimes. Can we just, you know what? I like her a lot, Emma. Let's just cut that out.
Because you got
It feels like that's a sour note to go out on, not unlike eating a plum in February, you know?
Yeah.
Not good, you know?
Maybe they shouldn't be sour if you're good at choosing the right kind of plum.
I bet you're one of these Krispy Kreme people too, huh?
Krispy Kreme donuts.
Plum equals Krispy Kreme.
What?
Because you have the conditions. Okay, you got to get a plum. If you don't get it in this 3-day window in August, then that's not a good plum. You got to wait for it, and you chill it. But put it in the fridge for four minutes.
This is like the MVP discussion because we could be having, are you asking me what's consistently the best fruit or what has the highest highs? Like what's the highest ceiling fruit? Because yes.
I asked you best, right?
A plum has a low floor. You're right. There's a lot of variance.
How could I possibly consider it for fruit of
because
the year?
Because the ceiling is so high.
But you just said it.
What is your – are you not revealing it?
The reigning champ is the Honeycrisp, right? Honeycrisp apple.
No, Fuji's are better.
Tell it to Levitard. By the way, Le Batard, I get that one, and then we'll wrap it up here. But Le Batard, I get that one on social media all the time that he and I look alike. You've been in close proximity to us both. Do I look that much like Dan Le Batard?
No. You have facial hair situation, face shape maybe, but body shape is different.
I once asked Rocky Blyer, the American hero slash Steelers fullback, if he was flattered by Hollywood's choice when they made his life story by the choice of the late, great Bobby Urich. Bobby Urich was still alive at the time when he played Rocky Blyer. I said, were you flattered that that's who they went with, Robert Urich, to play you? Was he handsome enough? And he said, well, I'm pretty handsome myself now. Is when you think of that, should I be flattered or offended that people call me, like you say, you're spot on for Dan Le Batard?
Well, you're asking me what I think of Dan Le Batard's looks, and I will say you should be flattered because he's a high profile guy, you know, huge fan base. I'd say it's a compliment. It's like, what, have you seen that Amazon commercial?
No, I haven't.
But that there's one that plays constantly during football. You guys have seen it.
That was a good change of direction.
Like Jalen Samuels out here.
He's high profile.
You know, can you feel it? Can you feel it? And then this lady kind of pokes her. So she looks a lot. I get probably told now 10 to 15 times a day, wow, have you seen that? Yes, I've seen it. I've seen it.
Boy, that's so offensive when people, you look so much, I can't wait to see this person. To know what you think of me. It's also like going on a blind date, you know? Like, yeah. Like that's what you think of me? Or like, oh, that's what you think of me. Wow, nice. Thank you for setting me up. Or like, how dare you?
I tried to make some. Have you ever used Bitmojis? Those like giant, you've seen them. You know, Wade Phillips does them all the time. Mm. Somebody said, can you make me one? And I made it. And then they didn't text me back for 24 hours. And I was panicking. Panicking. So, yeah, it's always an awkward conversation.
What a pleasure. Not awkward at all, at least on Mina Kimes' part. Me, dodgier. Like Joe Flacco playing football. I can't help it. That's all I can do. I'm inconsistent at best. All right, the great Mina Kimes, everybody. Make sure you check her out. She's all over ESPN. You can listen to the podcast, Mina Kimes featuring Lenny, right? That's how you like it, featuring Lenny?
The Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny.
Right. Track it down wherever you find your greatest, your favorite podcasts. Again, I mentioned already, make sure you listen to her on the broadcast with Emma VP. And we'll talk with you later in the week as we get you ready for a humongous holiday weekend of pro football, week 16. Big games, big stakes. We'll talk about all that later on in the week. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.